actually read the scriptures before we pray.
Yes, amen.
Lay it on my heart here today and it's in Colossians 3, 14, starting 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all these in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads now. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come with such a humbleness in our hearts this night. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, what you've done for us. Lord, how can we ever repay you? Lord, just the peace, Lord, we live with every day, Lord, because of your grace. Lord, with all the things going on around us in this world, Lord, the tests and trials that may come upon us each and every day, Lord, something different. Lord, we don't have nothing to worry about, Lord, as long as you're beside us. Lord, we're just so thankful this night. I don't know how to repay you. Lord, how could we ever sing enough songs of praise to give back to you? How could we ever pray enough, Lord, to thank you? Lord, how can we sit here, Lord, with humbleness in our hearts enough to give back what you've done for us?
Yes.
Lord, just be with us as servants, Lord. Somehow strike it down in our hearts, Lord. Lord, at least sing with all our hearts. Lord, let us at least sing with all our hearts what you've done for us.
Amen.
Oh, God. Lord Jesus, and then if it's your grace, and grace only, Lord, we'll take that next step. Lord, as the word comes forth, we'll take that next step, Lord, we need to take in you. Lord, because we got to go in mind. We got a home, Lord of the soul, we're heading for. Dear God, just help each and every one of us this nice night. Lord, let everything is said and done. Lord, everything that's sung be for your glory and your honor. Lord, we ask you to bless it now in your precious holy name. We ask and pray these things, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. Precious Jesus. Amen. Amen. I actually had this little song in my heart. I don't know how well you guys know it. I'm going to sing it anyway, and if you know it, you can join in. I was trying to find it in the books, and it's nowhere to be found. And I got in the car, and they wanted to hear some singing, and it's the first song. Come on. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. While the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so strong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, now I wish they could see. Blessings on me. Praise God.
Praise
God. Amen. Let's turn our Capstone Life books to page 74. Amen. Don't know how to thank him enough. Hallelujah. Amen. I know he's always there when I need him.
Amen.
There is a
lead through ways.
give thanks with a grateful heart.
Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks
to the Holy One.
His own. He takes care of his own. Amen. Just ponder on what he gracious Lord, how we're so thankful for all that you do for us. We so appreciate your mercy, grace, and lives that you've given to us. Lord, this night as we've worshiped you, lifted our hearts up to you.
Amen.
Lord, it makes me think again of those angels and seraphims that you created. Oh God, that to worship you, Lord, with two wings they covered their face. With two wings they did cover their feet. And with two wings they did fly. Lord, we have not wings to cover our face in humility. We have not wings to cover our feet. Lord Jesus, we've got your precious blood.
Amen.
That covers us, Lord.
Amen.
Father, as we worship you tonight, you're pleased. You're pleased. And Lord, if it wasn't for what you've done for us, we couldn't have done it.
Amen.
But thank you again, Lord. Thank you so much. Lord, we humbly stand before you again at this time now, presenting the needs of your people, Lord, back to you. That again, Lord, for the purpose that you would be glorified. Father, you could be glorified as a healer, glorified as a provider, the great Jehovah Jireh. Lord, we ask now that you provide all these needs, that you know what it is on each one's heart. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them. And Father, may we not fail to give you the glory. May we not fail to praise you, Lord, and be thankful for it. Oh God, this little worship service is meant a lot to me, and Lord, I know it's meant a lot to you. Lord Jesus, just help us all now to continue to yield to you. Lord, we're getting ready to go home. And everything must be right in tune with what you want to be. Oh, what a day that's going to be, Lord, when we can worship you throughout eternity. Oh, thank you so much now. Thank you for providing the needs now. Appreciate it. May you bless the remainder of the service. Bless our brother, Lord, as he brings the word of God. Make it easy for him, Lord. Father, open our hearts to receive. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. So we ask now for that revelation tonight. Commit all these things in your hands. And that thy will be done. In your holy name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. come, and Lord, to sing these songs and to worship you and to thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And Lord, as our brother mentioned, that we stand here covered by your blood. How grateful we ought to be, Lord.
Yes.
Appreciative. And Lord, we not only that, but you're here with us. You're in us. We feel your presence and your spirit. And Lord, by grace, we can see the hour in which we live, and you've revealed yourself unto us.
Yes.
And Lord, we want to be those sanctuaries that, Lord, that we could continue to finish this work that you've set before us.
Yes.
And Lord, that we'd be a people that would be a representative of you in this last day. That, Lord, that through it all, you would be glorified and receive everything back just the way you wanted it to be. And Lord, we just ask tonight that you would bless this precious word that you've laid upon my heart, Lord. Help us, Lord, to think about it and to take it into our hearts. And Lord, I may only be able to bring it in a small text, but Lord, it's a great subject. And Lord, a subject I believe that you are moving us into, Lord, if we will just open our hearts to you. And maybe this be a preparing, Lord, of our hearts for something yet to come, we ask. And we just ask it all in your precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. He's so precious. Sure enjoyed the songs and the worship. Amen. I've got so much to thank him for. Amen. While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Amen. It may seem like a little strange way to get into a text. I kind of thought I had what I was going to bring, and then on the way to the church, the Lord laid some scriptures upon my heart, and they just went right into tune. And I thought we would read them first and just kind of get into my subject, and I believe that when I'm done, maybe I'll just pray that it'll stir our hearts a little greater. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit is moving.
Yes,
and you know, when he talks, as our brother's been bringing things on, recognizing the presence of God. And my, I was just thinking about these things. Let's just take this and just listen to the word tonight. Let me read what the Lord laid upon my heart and
Amen.
Just weigh it and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. If it be his will, it's for a purpose, I believe. Amen. If not for you, for me. I've sure just thought about it. Amen. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we're going to read that 21st verse, and you can be seated. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. And I'm not really going to go into treasure, so to speak, as you might think. But what is our treasure? Amen. You know, we're sitting here tonight as human beings. We could have many treasures. But yet we were sent here to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And amen, that ought to be the greatest treasure in our life.
Amen.
To stop and think about this. And you know, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. It's where your thoughts are going to be. It's where your life's ambition is going to be centered around. We've had many messages on those things.
Yes.
But oh my, as we are channeling into the Word, and the Word's been coming about recognizing the presence, getting in and coming in the right spirit, and letting the Lord have his way. And I was just thinking about those things. I'd like to turn to Mark, the 10th chapter, and read something. Amen. Very familiar. I believe the Holy Spirit is laying out a path for us. And laying out, he's trying to move and get us into a position with him. And many of us, as we sit here, I want you to think of this young man again as we read it from the scriptures, Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there come one running and kneeled down and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And as I think about this, I think about us as we sit here this evening, and the word's been coming forth, and the Holy Spirit moving upon our hearts for a closer walk with him, but a more in-depth walk with him, more letting him have the leadership in our lives. And as you see the Holy Spirit wooing us, and number one, as you begin to get into his presence, it's very important that we recognize when he's near. Very important we recognize when he's trying to speak to our heart, trying to show us something. It's very important. Amen. And as this young man had an opportunity, he had done many things. And as church members, we sit here tonight and we have heard many words. Said amen. We've agreed, and oh my, we see it, that this is the way. But now the Holy Spirit is beginning to bring the word and maybe draw us into a closer walk with him. And that's what was happening here at this young man's point of his life. The Holy Spirit went forth and told him, do this and come, follow me. But it was too great of a price at that point, and he went away grieved. He just could not take that last step that was needed. And my, how, what a sad picture that is. But let's turn here. I'm going to turn over to Matthew 16. If you'd like to turn with me, read a couple verses. We're living in that time, saints, when it's the finishing up of all things. Amen. And we're coming down to the finality, the great finale, so to speak, of what all of this was to be for and to do. But in Matthew 16, verse 24 to 28. Amen. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. And my, as you begin to think about this, we're in that time when it's come down to a closeness, a very important time in our lives, I believe. And I want to just recall your mind to something that Brother Branham said in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. You've heard it many times. We've all heard it. But as I was just thinking about it, and as I begin to read this, just ask yourself, when was the last time you can truly say you felt the Holy Spirit move upon your heart to do something for the Lord? Whether it be to go pray for a brother, whether it was to pick up a sack of groceries and take it to someone, or whether it was to have come into service and give a testimony, or come into service and maybe say, brother, I would just like to read a scripture the Lord laid upon my heart. Or just come in and say, I have a special this evening. Or maybe the Lord moved on your heart and said, there's something over here that needs done. When was the last time we truly can say we were led of the Lord to do something? And then really be able to say, I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit to do what I'd done. And you know, I began to think about this the last Thursday evening that Brother DeLong first preached on in the presence of God. And I sang that song, I Just Came Back to Cry Holy. And I got home from work, and I went down into the living room, and I picked up my guitar, and I just began to play some songs, and I've been going to go through my songbook. And as I was going through that songbook, I had wrote a song several years ago that I never sang. And I got to looking at that song and beginning to reminisce, and the Holy Spirit just kind of spoke to my heart that I'd kind of give it up. You know, he gave me something. You know, if the Lord gives you a song, he gives it to you for a reason. And I never sang it, and it kind of, I let it go, and as I was sitting there, I began to think about it, and that little song, I Just Came Back to Cry Holy, came upon my heart, and there was a couple lines in there that I wanted rewrote, and I'm not a songwriter. And so as I was just sitting there and I began to sing it, and those two lines just went right into place. And I said, Lord, I'm going to sing it. Well, then I got to church and the service started and things were going. And Satan was there, and another song was there. And I picked it up and I almost got up to sing that song. But at the last minute, it was just like something, not an audible voice, but just something. That's not the song I give you for this evening. Amen. And I got to thinking about that, and yes. how much are we not truly in tune to the Spirit? Mm-hmm. We're so busy. Life is busy. All of us are busy. And I'll admit, as life goes on, it seems like jobs take more of our time. Family takes more of our time. We've got this going and that going and all these things that must be done to keep life rolling. But yet here we stand at the last few moments of time when God said he would have the full preeminence of a people. Amen. And they would be so under his rulership. And as he said in Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you give your bodies as a living sacrifice. All these things we've read recently. Yes. And when you start to think about it, and am I truly giving my life to him? Truly, that he could lead me. You know, sometimes as I said, it might be Monday, it might be Tuesday, might be Wednesday, Thursday, but at some point it just seems like the Lord has a way of laying something on your heart, nudging you, and it may not be for two more services, three services, before you get a chance to, that becomes something that you get to bring to the people. Yes, maybe something that takes place, but I wonder if we're conscious of some of these things that Brother Branham said and some of the examples that was left us. And I thought we would just read this in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed on page 21. And I'm going to start at paragraph 39 because I want you to notice how the quote he read before he got into this. He says, but when Christ is identified in you, identifying himself, when you're Christ-like, which the word Christian means to be Christ-like, there is your identification. All right, now since he is our identification, then would we be identified with him by living for him? Notice God has a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. God in his great mystery secret before the world began, he has got a threefold purpose in it. And now he wanted to go up on this morning and see, and I believe by the help of God who is present, he'll show it to us. He has a threefold purpose, and we want to find out what that purpose is. Now, how important is a wife to a husband as it's been brought? How important is the wish of that husband to that wife? That, oh, he'd really like to have this, get that for him. Do that for him. It becomes an objective to her. And I want you to think about this. God had a purpose. Had something he wanted to achieve. Amen. And as that wife of Christ, I wonder if that's become a treasure to us. Oh, I'd love to be able to give to him what he's wanting. Hallelujah. Just think about it in simplicity, saints, as we go through it. And he says he couldn't do it. Let's see. The threefold purpose. He wanted to find out what this threefold purpose is. And the first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. And he couldn't do it as great Jehovah God. He covered all space, time, and eternity. He couldn't. He was too great to ever be revealed to the people because it would be too mysterious. How could that great being that never did begin, then after you beyond the cycle of hundreds, billions, and trillions of light years space, out into infinity, into eternity, and a great creature that was all that and still is, but he wanted to? He loved fatherhood, and he was a father, and the only way he could express it was to become a son of man. And that's the reason Jesus kept saying the Son of Man. See, they didn't know what he was talking about, many of them. But now you get it. Thank God that we've been revealed to us. Amen. Just think of the grace of God at this hour that we're setting as we read these things. Yes. It's not foreign to us, but we can automatically begin to think back into the Scriptures and see the picture that God has opened up to us in this hour. And he says, we want to express himself. That was his great threefold purpose. That was one of his great threefold purposes, was to express himself, identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. Secondly, to have the preeminence in a body of believers, that in this bride that he might live in a people. And how could he could not do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated him. And oh, now this is rich to me. Just to even think of it, see that God's purpose. Now, why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? He said he would never be able to express his fullness, his few after you, because he could have been a father, that's true. But he's also a Savior. And oh my, we can already begin to think, oh my, he was a kinsman redeemer. The words come into our minds and we begin to see that picture. But that's been fulfilled. It took place. And by God's grace, we saw it expressed. And now, to think about it, he says, And he says, how was he? He is, because I've had the experience. See, he is a Savior. He had to express that, and how he could do it only through Christ. How could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. See, all these things are wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to drop down to paragraph 147. He says another... Need not skip. When I think of it, I just see denominations pass off the scene, everything else just going, when I see God's great purpose revealing himself and having head bodily. And then to bring that fullness of the Godhead bodily into a people, he could have the preeminences, the oversight, and the leading. And then he says, and another, the other night, you didn't get the tape, I preached here one night, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Paul a prisoner. When God gets you to be a prisoner, that you can't do nothing but what the Spirit says do. And I want you to begin to think about that. Are we that in tune that we truly do only what the Spirit allows us to do? We truly are in the Spirit that when something happens, a circumstance arises, or whatever we be faced with, it's automatic that the Word is on our mind. The Spirit is there bringing the Word back to our remembrance.
Yes.
Placing it in there that, oh my, this is pleasing to the Lord. He wants me here and in the preeminence, that he could have that oversight and the leading. Amen. That it would be Christ-like coming back out of me, because it's him on the inside expressing himself back. Amen. And when you stop and can see that he'd done all this other stuff that he said he would do, a father, a healer, all these things have been achieved.
Yes.
But now here sets a people tonight that has the opportunity to fulfill this second purpose here that he had. To be a people that he would truly have the oversight and the leading of. In an age when the Holy Spirit, the leadership of the Holy Spirit has been pushed aside. And it's become the leadership of men in churches.
Yes, it is.
And the Holy Spirit's been pushed off and pushed out. And he's on the outside, truly knocking. But oh my, here we sit, and he's humbly come in, and he's made himself known to us, and he's proven that he's here with us. How great it ought to be is my treasure then truly. Lord, let me fulfill your desire at this point.
Amen.
You know, as we've heard about being a prisoner and him having the leadership. But oh my, if the Spirit is truly leading, everything works to the good of what God wants done. There's nothing out of place. If the Spirit leads you to do something and you truly see it was the Spirit, watch it be in tune and the Holy Spirit get glorified from it.
Amen.
Not a man or some other person, but watch the Holy Spirit be glorified. And we must always be careful, because the Holy Spirit may lead us to do something, to go to someone, to call someone, write a letter to someone, bring someone, and get someone to walk in and come in that door to be able to feel the presence of God that's here. And oh my, we must never take credit from God that I got this person to church, I got this person where they are. But we must always give God the glory that, thank you, Lord, that I was a vessel that could be used. As our brother comes up here and he brings the word, he don't come with the attitude, I brought the message that showed that person their need. But he was the willing vessel that stood here that God could speak to his heart and lay upon his heart the things that was needed. And the Holy Spirit was here to reveal to that person. And through that, God gets the glory. That it was God that gave the gift. And it was God that was here to teach us and to guide us into all things. And how, as each one, as we... And I think our pastor is a great example of what that learning to lean upon the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Lord is. And what a great asset that is to be able to follow those that have the rule over you, ending their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's not my message, but I want you to see the leadership that it takes and the consecration that it takes for our brother to be the pastor. To make sure that every time you come in here, there's food on the table to eat. It's just like a father in the natural as he goes to work every day. Making sure that he's providing and bringing home, that there's food on the table and clothes for the kids to wear and shoes here. That's a pastor's great job. And I want you to, that's just a type though. I just want you to see that as a type. That's what God is doing for the pastor, to make sure that he's under the anointing and the leadership and God to be able to bring the food. But now how about us as laity? Are we in the Spirit and in tune with, Lord, whatever you lay upon his heart that should come? Am I that open recipient vessel that's going to sit there? And that word that comes forth is going to be the greatest treasure I'm ever going to receive in this life. Just think about it, saints. There's a lot of things we put value on. A lot of things we think's dear to us. My children, I use them all the time because that's my wife. You know, family, that's dear to you. Those children mean a lot to you. Your wife means a lot to you. Your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, grandma, grandpa, they all mean a lot to us. But where's the treasure of our heart? Is it truly to the Word of God? Or could my family pull me away and make me detour from the Word that God has given me in this hour and the place He wants me to be? Oh, it's a great thought, saints, to think of where we're standing. But I want you to think, let's turn to Luke 4 and look at the first example. Amen. In Romans 8, he says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. And how much leading are we seeing in our lives? Well, you say, oh, I go to church and I believe the Word, but is God using you in any way? Are you open that He could use you? You say, well, I'm not a singer. I don't do nothing. Maybe I'm older. I can't help with the work crews. I don't do that. But can God use you for something? Are you open to the leading that, Lord, let it be to me according to Thy will? You know, I think of, there's many examples, but as I was just reading and thinking about, Simon in the temple, when Jesus come, and how He sat there and waited, and the leading of the Spirit led Him over there to where that baby laid. And Anna in the temple, the Spirit over her blind eyes. Something in her heart. She's old, but God had a purpose for them being there at that time. And He was able to move upon them by His Spirit, and they did what He had planned for that specific time. And here we stand tonight, we see the ending of time and all this that could take place and all that God's wanting to do. It's not about great signs and wonders, but it's what God can do through your life. How much of that do we see? Do I truly see God using me, working in me, leading me? Think about it, saints. We all got a job to do. We all come here and we all join in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And each one of us God can use. I think of the little story of the lady that was at the prayer line. I couldn't find it before I came, but I was thinking about the little lady that God laid it upon her heart to pray for that little baby that she knew Brother Branham was going to pray for. And oh, she felt that so strong in her heart, and she went and prayed for that baby. And that baby come up in that prayer line, Brother Branham said, that baby's already healed. Amen. And he said, can we all do miracles? He said, yes, when we're led by God. Amen. And it's not always about a miracle, but it's about what you can be led to do for God. Amen. It might be a word spoken at the right time for a brother in need. Amen. Might be a hand laid on someone's shoulder, and brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, I'm praying for you. Amen. At the right time to encourage, to pull that brother through or sister through. We're family. We're here with one goal and one objective. If our treasure is truly for God to have the preeminence in our hearts and lives, how that ought to truly be billowing out from us. Amen. And I want you to think of Jesus here. And it says in Mark 4:1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. God led Him into that time of going up into that wilderness and fasting and praying, and the Satan come to tempt Him. I want you to look at that. But the Spirit, He was full of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit was there leading, and He followed. And look at the scriptures that was written out following that. And God was glorified and magnified that He was God through those scriptures. Hey, amen. We could read it. He says, and being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days He did eat nothing, and when they were ended, He was afterward and hungered. And the devil said unto Him, if thou be the Son of God, command that the stone be made bread. 40 days without food. I want you to think about it. How hard it is for some of us to go a day. And 40 days, and what much hunger His natural body must have truly had at that point. And then to be tempted that you could make this bread and you could eat it. Well, Satan knows right where to try to hit you. But the Holy Spirit, that was the key, being full of the Holy Ghost. And being led by the Spirit, He withstood the devil. Yes. He didn't fall or cave in, but God received the glory and the honor from His life. Amen. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that shall proceed from the word of God. But by every word of God. And the devil took Him up into a high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto Him, all this power will I give thee. Think about that, about 33 years old, or maybe 30, somewhere along in, it's about 33, I think it was Brother Bram said when he started his ministry. And just stop and think about that. A young man in a world that he was human, he had feelings, as you and I. And there was everything he could have ever wanted, ever needed for this human life, was laid out before him. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, and all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Amen. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And into their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answering him said unto him, "It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. But I want you to look at being full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit. I want you to look at the glory that came back to God. And oh my, how as we're walking through this life, many things arise. Are we being led by the Spirit that through our life, the glory goes back to God? Or are we missing that he doesn't really have the preeminence? Because when I get in a situation, I lay him on the shelf and I detour to my own route and the way I want to deal with the situation. Or how I feel as a human being, the situation ought to be dealt with. But we must have the mind of Christ in all things. Amen. And we must grow up as into Christ. And be a strong, mature people. Yes. Into the fullness of the stature of Christ. We've heard this message for many, many years, but we're coming to a time where we're going to be required of what we've heard that a people would have. Not just churchgoers, not just a people that are professors, but a people that have a possession of that title. Amen. And the inheritance that is promised. Amen. You see here. Amen. Just show you another example real quick, just a small one. Brother Branham left us in Paul a prisoner, speaking of Paul. And I want you to notice, if you go back and look in the scriptures, if you find something where God's trying to show a people that's how he wants them to be, you go back in the scriptures and begin to search, and you can find an example and an example and an example all the way up through. And we will not be left not being an example in this day, because he won't be without a witness. And we're that the Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. Amen. In this day that we are those sons of God. Here in page 14 in a message of prisoner. But being pressed in the spirit. Let me back up 92. He says, maybe somebody could say, "Brother Saul, Brother Paul, we want you to come over here because we got the biggest church. We got the biggest congregation. Your offerings will be great," and so forth. But he, being pressed in the spirit, he thought, "I got a brother over there. I'd like to go over there and save this brother and get him to the Lord." But yet the Spirit pressed him to go somewhere else. He was a prisoner correctly. Oh God, make us prisoners like that, from our own selfish ambition, from our own judgments and our better way of thinking, to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I think that was a great statement that Paul made. I am a prisoner to Jesus Christ. And we've heard this preached on many times and spoke about it, and it may come again greater. But it doesn't truly begin to ring a bell that it's not just why I just got to be a prisoner, but the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If you're a prisoner, you will be led. A prisoner don't go where he wants to go, but he's led wherever he goes. And just think about that. If we would get so in tune with the Holy Spirit, that it's not just here under the anointing of coming in here, but through our daily life, everything we do would be so pleasing to him in a greater way. And he says, Remember, no matter what anyone else thinks, it's the Word. If you're a prisoner to the Word, no denomination can sway you from it. It's the Word. And we must think, if we're truly a prisoner to the Word, there's no circumstance in life can sway me off of the Word. There's no circumstance in life that would cause me to veto and go over this way and lean to my own understanding as it's been coming. But we must follow that leading of the Holy Spirit and stay under that anointing in the presence of the Lord. He said many times Paul was trying to go someplace thinking, this is where I could have a great meeting, and the Spirit would forbid him. Now, does that clearly statement prove Paul was a prisoner? A prisoner to Jesus Christ, harnessed to his word by the Spirit? Oh, I like that. He was bound by a chain, by fetters of love, to do the will of God, and that only. He was a prisoner. That's where his treasure was. That was his full treasure in life, was to be what Jesus Christ had sent him to be for his time. And I wonder tonight if we ask ourselves, where is my treasure truly at tonight? And you know, all week, God knows our hearts. He knows our minds and our thinking. He knows exactly where our treasure has been.
Amen.
He knows all about us. Amen. And he says, he is a prisoner. He was in fetters of love, and his yoke was with Jesus Christ. He could yoke up with nothing else. He was yoked with him. And where the lead went, that's where he had to go, regardless of how green the pasture was here on this side or that side. He had to go the way the leader or the yoke went. And oh, tonight, if we as the Branham Tabernacle could only become prisoners to our own selfish being, and oh my, how wonder how much selfishness we still have to ourselves, that we haven't truly let the word beat out of us. Each one of us weighing up truly. Am I still holding to what I want to do with my life? What I feel is important? Or has this word truly become the treasure that, Lord, I know I'm fixing to leave this world. And I want my life to be a reflection of what you said it would be before I leave. Amen. Our own selfish being to our own ambition, that we could completely surrender ourselves and be yoked to him no matter what the rest of the world thinks. What the rest of the world does, we're yoked with fetters of love. We're prisoners. My feet is so yoked to Christ, it won't dance. My eyes are so yoked to Christ, till when I see these modern striptease on the street, it turns my head. My heart is so yoked in love with him till I can't have love for the world anymore. My will is so yoked to him till I don't even know what my ambitions are. Just wherever you lead, I'll follow, Lord. I'll be your prisoner. And I wonder if we're getting to that stage. Is Lord, let this word be my full direction and guide and my lead and take me. And oh my, you know, we see it. I've already been a little over a half hour, but I just want you to think about that. Think about Paul.
Amen.
And I won't take the time to read it, but I want you to think about Brother Branham, the time when he was down just as an example, and he was supposed to get on that plane. But yet as he was walking, something told him just to keep walking a little farther. Keep going. Just keep going. Not an audible voice speaking to him, just something in his heart. Keep going. And how he walked down the street, and there stood that little old lady on the side. Said, I've been waiting for you. I knew you was coming. And I want you to think about how much that little lady was in the spirit. She had a need. And she was concerned enough that she was praying and crying out to God. And God heard her prayer. And he moved on both ends of that situation. And I wonder, as we sit here tonight, maybe we've got sickness in our body. Maybe we've got something that God could heal. And I wonder if we're that concerned, not for the well-being of my body, but that to the glory of God, that I would be a person that he could look at and people could say, God healed that lady. God healed that man. And you go to, if you've got something you need from God of anything, then you truly in your heart feel it and you want to be delivered. You take it to God in prayer. God knows all about it. And he'll move at the right time when he's ready. But when he does, if you was truly being led of the Spirit to cry out for that thing in your heart sincere, when God moves you, watch God get the glory from it.
Amen.
It'll work 100% right down the line. Oh, my, and I think, you know, oftentimes people think about having the power of the Holy Ghost in their life that, oh, I saw a crippled man and I went over there and I laid hands on him and he raised up. That's wonderful. But I want you to think about Jesus Christ walking down the street with all the power that was within him and how many lame people he looked upon and how many people that he could have healed or touched and the people that he could have helped. But you watch every time that the hand of God moved, God became glorified greater through that circumstance.
Amen.
That person gave God the glory.
Amen.
The people gave God the glory. The fear came upon many as they saw God move.
Amen.
It wasn't to no glory of any man at that point, but that Jesus Christ was here. It was to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
He was represented that he was here in flesh. Amen. And how, as we stand here, a people that he said he would inhouse himself, and he put a part of himself in us. And he said he would have the preeminence. He would take this body over. How great we ought to be willing and yield greater. Lord, prepare me to be that sanctuary.
Amen.
Tried and true. Oh my, I pray that's burning in our hearts, saints.
Yes.
But we've got a work to do. And there's a leadership. The Holy Spirit has got to be in full control of everything we do.
Amen.
Each one of us, not just the pastor, not just the song leader. But God's got to work for every individual that's sitting here. If you've been called to this purpose, to be a living attribute of him in this day, a person that he's going to declare to this nation, to this people, that he's alive. He's going to use your life in some way that God will be glorified. Doesn't mean you're going to do great signs and wonders. May not mean it might be the smallest of things,
But God will be glorified through your life. And it'll be evident that it was the leading of the Holy Spirit that took place and led you to do that. And oh my, I pray each one of us is longing and crying out, Lord, let it be me, Lord. Let it be me greater. Let my life be greaterly led by the Holy Spirit. Let this word that's coming forth mold my character greater to the precious Holy Spirit. And be more in tune. It's not so much the jumping and the shouting as it was on the day of Pentecost and running all over the church and speaking in tongues. God can do all those things. That's not been done on the purpose for it.
Amen.
But God is here to show and express through people's lives that He's living.
Amen.
Oh, the Holy Spirit can move, but you watch the Holy Spirit come back and show that He's God. Amen. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's here to prove that He will have the oversight, the preeminence, and the leading of His people. And oh my, I pray God, let me be one of those that can truly be a yielded vessel to you. And it'll show back out forth through my life and the decisions I make every day that people see me do and take part in, that there's a person that Jesus Christ has the preeminence of. Amen. Maybe might be pressure over here as a young person. Maybe you've got pressure from this one and that one. But yet something down in your heart's holding you.
Amen.
And I thank God when I remember when I was a young person. Went to work in Columbus and got around a lot of things that I had never seen before in my life. But yet there was something down on the inside of me that wouldn't let us go too far. It kept you. Watched over us and guided us. And I think many times of the foolish things we done growing up. Driving fast and going and doing all these things that many people die, many people lose their life. But yet God had a purpose and He's watched over me this far. And He's blessed me with countless blessings as we sang the song. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. How much greater should my true heart's desire be? Lord, I want you to have that full preeminence in my life. Oh my, how it ought to really mean something to us to say to be, Lord, let me be that living sacrifice. Let me be that person that's so yielded to you that I move when you tell me to move.
Amen.
Oh my, let's all stand. You sisters could come to the instruments if you would. Amen. I pray. I didn't mean to get lengthy on you. But I thank the Lord for His precious word. And I thank God for what He's doing. Amen. He is so real to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So brother comes, let's just sing that little chorus, How Great Is Our God.
Yes.
Amen. Every day I think, how great is His word.
Amen.
Amen. As our brother was talking about nature the last time and how you can see the storm clouds roll in and the rainbows rise and the grass. And I had some quotes there I was going to get to. We didn't make it. But oh my, how great is our God.
Yes.
But then not only that, but He saw all of this in His mind and knew we'd be here.
Yes.
The desire He knew He was going to place in our heart.
Yes.
The love He knew we was going to have for Him and give back to Him. Oh my, He knew every song we was going to sing tonight when we were here.
Amen.
And He's working it all for your good. Amen.
Amen.
To them that love God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. How great is our God. How great is our God. How great is His word. He's the greatest one. That ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I will lead you.
Amen.
Put your trust in me. Amen. I want you to think about that just for a moment.
Hallelujah.
He said, think of it. As I said, the examples are there.
Yes, they are.
We can look and see. He told him He would take him out of Egypt with a strong hand, and He did. He said, follow Me, and I'll lead you. And right through that sea they went. That was their day. This is our day. He said, put your trust in Me. No matter what comes and goes, put your trust in Him and follow the word and watch God lead us right through and make it work. That God brought that person through with a strong and mighty hand. And then watch God be able to get the glory. You watch a testimony that can come.
Amen.
Oh, I was going through this, but God led me. I followed His word and I obeyed Him and I
Amen.
Trusted Him and He brought me through.
Hallelujah.
Oh, put your trust in Him and He'll lead you. Amen. Right home. Amen.
Hallelujah.
How great is our God. How great is His word. He's the greatest.
trust in Him. Let us bow our heads.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, again we thank You for this precious word this evening. It's meant so much to us now, Lord, to be able to sit here this evening and measure ourselves up by the Word of God and how it stirs within us, the Lord Jesus, to commit ourselves and our in a greater way to You, Lord, and consecrate our life to You, that You could totally, completely, at all times, lead us by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, my mind goes back many times I think about it, as Apostle Paul said, speaking in the book of Corinthians, that attending upon You, Lord, without distraction. And Lord, as we had it before about distraction, Lord, that distraction is a multiplicity of different things coming to our minds. And Lord, of trying to get us to go different ways and think different ways other than the main object that it is meant to be. And Lord, how we stand here knowing, Lord, that Father, there's so many different things that try to distract us and to get our minds off of something, Lord, that it would be on something besides of being led by the Spirit of God. And Lord, how we should guard that with all that's in us. And it's not, Lord, that we will sit around like wallflowers and do nothing in this life. Lord, we have to do things. Lord, we have to have jobs. We have to work. There's things we must attend to. But Lord, we must attend to You, Lord, without distraction. And Lord, there is a way for a man or woman to have things that they have to do in life. But yet, Lord, be led by the Spirit of God, as the brother was speaking. Lord, a little sister, she can be standing there maybe at the sink and Lord, doing dishes. But Father, have her mind upon You, and all of a sudden, Lord, You'd lay something upon her heart. And Father, it may be something maybe her husband's in need of. And Father, maybe a certain thing that Lord Jesus that would maybe be pleasing to Him and help Him along the way. And Father, she'll follow that leading. Even while she's doing dishes, Lord, You can lead them by the Holy Spirit. And Father, same with us men on the job. We may be doing our job. We may have to be thinking about how we had to put this together and how this has to be done. But Lord, by You being the first love in our hearts, Lord, we're constantly thinking about You and making sure that everything we do is according to Thy will. And Father, open-hearted, open-minded, and Lord, waiting for You to lead us to whatever You want us to be, whatever You want us to do, places to go, thing to say, everything, Lord Jesus. But Father, it's a way, Lord, that the Holy Ghost alone can train us. And I'm asking, Lord, that You'd train every one of us to be led by the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, take our hearts completely over. And it all starts, Lord, You being the first love of our heart. Then, Lord, You can lead us and guide us, regardless what we have to attend upon, regardless what we have to take care of and do in life. Lord Jesus, Apostle Paul, he was a tent maker. But Lord Jesus, as he is making those tents, his heart was open to be led by the Spirit of God. I was walking down through the street, Lord, going through the market. And Lord Jesus, the little lady, constantly by the spirit of Satan, constantly mocking the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God was doing through man. But Lord, as he walked through the market, he was waiting on You to lead him by the Holy Spirit. And Father, then he worked. Oh God, if we'd only learn that, Father. Yes, we can go through this life, and we have to, Lord. We must go through this life and do the things we need to do as a father, as a brother, as a mother, as a young person, whatever it may be. But Lord Jesus, in whatever we do, we must do it in the name of the Lord. Father, being led by the Spirit of God. So help us now, Lord. Train us how to do so. And we'll give You the glory and honor. And thank You, Lord, for this night. We appreciate every word of it, every blessing of it, Lord, the song service, everything that You've done. We appreciate it with all our hearts. Lead us and guide us now in all things. It's our desire. In Your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord. And we'll give the glory to Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that. We'll give the glory to Jesus. richly bless you. Amen. You're dismissed. Praise the Lord.